welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
That's one more kid that'll never go to school, never get to fall in love, never get to be cool. Keep on rocking in the free world. Ba-da-da-da. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Neil.
Yes. Yes. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. First time ever, Neil Young. Mainly because I'm not a big fan.
I have to admit, I thought you were going somewhere different beforehand. I thought you were going a little Peebo Bryson, perhaps, like a whole new world.
Oh, right? I could have done that, right? But I was just like, this one came on the radio, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I really loved that line, like, one more kid that'll never go to school, never get to fall in love, never get to be cool. Like, there's certain lines that are just like, oh, dude, that's brilliant, right? Just the way it plays. But anyway, rocking in the free world, what the hell are we talking about? We're talking about doing something that has yet to be done on Three Wise DMs. So we are treading new ground here, my friends, and hopefully you will join us on this adventure. So I remember, Tony, I don't know if you remember, way back we did an episode, and like in the middle of it, we did like a behind the screen thing, and it was all about how in Old Bone Grinder, how I decided as the DM to run two green hags and a night hag instead of three night hags against a party of like fourth level adventurers, right?
Fourth level guys, and the monsters were level seven and had really cool special abilities.
Yeah, we kind of said, okay, come with us behind the screen now, as we say. We're kind of doing that now, but we're taking it even further back, and we are literally asking. We're not talking about world building. We've talked about world building in the past. We're talking about actually doing it live. So we're going to start tonight talking about a brand new world, a complete idea of how would we go about this. We're going to start spitballing, and then we're going to know if you guys want to join us on this adventure, because you're going to get in touch with us. Send us an email at threewisedms@gmail.com. Send stuff into threewisedms.com. You can put it in the What's Your Problem field, even though it's not necessarily a question. Or get out to us on Facebook and Instagram. We're threewisedms on both platforms. And let us know, because we're going to reach out to you with some of the stuff that we come up with tonight, hopefully, and say, what do you guys think? You know, we're almost crowdsourcing world building here and kind of get into the nitty gritty of what do we do as we approach that for campaign setting. So I've talked plenty to begin with, so I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Let's go.
Well, if we're looking at what kind of fantasy we're kind of looking for, whether it be low or high, this may surprise people, I like to start low. I want to leave it open that you can grow and you can go high and you can do all this fantastic superhero business. That should be there, at least in my opinion. But in the beginning, you have to have humble origins. Some people are coming from farms. Magic should have a mystery to it. There should be something really special about it. I mean, maybe, you know, not there's one wizard in the party, but then maybe they don't have a magical Coke machine either. So that inherently makes all the characters special. And while I'm doing these things, I try to avoid tropes. Some of them are unavoidable, but really, as a whole, I try to leave them alone.
Tony, I would say, I just want to, before we kind of move on, we should kind of clarify something of when we're talking about it. I know we've talked about it in the past, but when we're talking about, like, when we start thinking about a world, and what it's always fantasy, but what kind of fantasy are we telling? Are we telling high fantasy, low fantasy, right? Is it going to be low magic or high magic? And this is more about the way that we're approaching it, the way that we look at it, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is if I'm saying kind of like a high fantasy or a low fantasy, they both have humble origins, but one of them is a much bigger thing. It's a fantastical world that has nothing to do with our world, really, as opposed to like a high low fantasy, which might be like our world, but something has changed in it, you know? And then like with magic, we talk about high magic, low magic a lot of times, but I think what we're really saying, but I, again, this kind of goes into what are we going to do as we build this out, but is it more that there's lots of magic, or is it that you can't access it so easily, you know?
I would say even that, and then a little bit of maybe that plays into the idea. We take out the ideas of high fantasy and low fantasy, and maybe it's just part of the world, right? Maybe I don't want to say Harry Potter. I hate to draw into that thing, but in that kind of concept where it's just this thing that is part of the natural fabric of the world. So it's not really high fantasy or low fantasy. Then it sort of takes on the idea if you want to go somewhere different with the overall flavor of it. But I think like the way, like, I like that idea that magic is sort of intrinsic or something like that. That would be something that's very cool. I think that's the, like, when the kind of things when you're trying to build a world, you're trying to think about, like, hey, like, I have all of these sources that I like and stuff like that. And what are the little bits about them that I like that I think that you could bring there? And I think that's one of the things where if we're going to have magic in this world we're creating, it's something that's we're either going to go in on it and it's going to be something that's part of the world, or we can go sans magic. Frankly, I think there's a lot of really cool settings where you have something like a Wild West or something like that that you go. But I think if we're magic, it should be part of the world, sort of not common, but, you know, it woven into the fabric of everyday life. It helps to define what the world is.
And I think we could probably preface this by saying that, like, when we're thinking about this world as we're building, we're generally thinking in fantasy worlds like Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder, things of that nature, as opposed to some other type of like, we're not building a world for Call of Cthulhu, because that world is just Earth with great old ones, right? But I would say one of the things, I like shoehorning this in anytime, because it's kind of what I had started off with originally. But for me, there's always a difference between, and I think this is like the high fantasy, low fantasy, but is the world that we're building Earth, and Earth maybe in like, well, with Tolkien, it was like Middle Earth, which is kind of like an Earth before Earth type of thing, right? But it's still played by the same laws generally about Earth, but in a much earlier time. Or you can take Earth far in the future, and not futuristic like Blade Runner, but futuristic the way like the Shannara Stones did, which I read. I never read Dying Earth series with Michael Moorcock series, like, but the idea of like this Earth that's so post-apocalyptic and so far removed that it in essence has become like a D&D setting, you know? And like, for instance, like the thing that I first think of when we were talking about this, I was like, oh, well, like my original idea that I always had of Uoth, which is in essence Earth, but it's like there was in essence like an alien invasion that crash landed on the world. And that is kind of what brought the monsters and the creatures and the magic into the world from their civilization. But it's still Earth. But now we go so far in the future that you don't even recognize it, you know? So I think, like, is this a completely brand new world? Or is this a world like Earth or Earth where the same types of things can be expected, you know? Like, let's say physics and things like that, you know?
Well, I really hope there's always going to be some degree of physics, because that's what our players really want to see. They want to see those falling charts and gravity and encumbrance. That's what brings everybody to the table.
No. You know what I mean. But like in the essence, like certain things will still react the same. I don't have to reinvent how, you know, friction works, because on this world, it's, you know, two-dimensional world, right? You know, more like that.
I'm sure somebody's tried, but when I'm talking like high magic, though, I'm not talking about maybe a wizard's college. I'm talking about, of course, I come back to my golden years gaming of Greyhawk, where you can go into this city and there's basically magical air conditioning and heated pipes and sailing ships. And you could walk into a market and there is genie behind the counter. And you could buy a dragon in the market. And guess what else? There's every freaking magical item you could conceivably imagine in the bazaar, including the hand of Fechnet if you can find it. So that's kind of the position where I take with that. Now, the thing is, though, and that's great. That's like your Manhattan of D&D. But it's kind of harder. You're starting out really broad with wide strokes. You're coming in really heavy. So to really impress everybody with finding some rare and old magic later, you know, 20 sessions later, may be a tough sell there.
Well, I think kind of piggybacking, because while you were talking, Dave, it occurred to me. So you have the idea of this futuristic world, because it solves a lot of the problems. It's like, we don't want to redefine gravity and all of these other things, right? But you take that future world where now it's become a little bit more primitive. And then what if you dovetail that in with the magic, and the magic is the technology that is being found, this ancient, super powerful technology. So it's not magic per se, like casting spells, but they're finding things that to them seem magical because of the powers that they give them, right?
Well, this is absolutely, that's kind of exactly what I'm thinking, right? Is that this idea that, you know, magic is just science that we haven't understood yet, right? That's an old trope. But I think an even more important thing when we're thinking about, like, when we're world building, let's say, which we are not, let's say we're fucking doing it right now. This is live, people. But no, like, I think a really good point, and Tony, you brought this up many times too. It's like, start small, right? Like, I don't necessarily, so when we're starting to think about this world, we don't necessarily have to build out the whole thing, because even if it's low or high magic, let's say, in terms of how we describe this, low and high magic, right? When you first push into the world with like an adventuring party, that won't really matter, because it's only going to be so much magic is accessible at the time anyway. So like, if we go even further back, like, do we even need to delineate that as we're building this out right now? Does that make sense?
It does. And I don't really think that you have to. You don't really need to commit to that. You can kind of feel it out as it goes along. And with the depth I was talking about with Greyhawk, like, I really put a real ton of detail when we made Blackcliff in our campaign setting. And honestly, like, Chris and I, like, how many targets within the city that we really hit? Like, we tried to go around and do the tour of the city, but like, generally you see them, but you're not going to interact with all those, like, you know, 16 other bullet points in the city all that often. Now, if we're talking post-apocalyptic, like with Rifts, you have literal Earth, and then a series of events creates a post-apocalyptic hellscape, and then suddenly you've got magic and psychics and literal vampires and literal dragons,
right,
along with the mix of super sci-fi technology. And that's actually a kind of a neat flavor, but it's pretty wild because your range is really wide.
Yeah, no, you'd have to, I think, all right, then take it back even further then, is that,
yeah, what is, like, the, what's story, our base question first, right?
Well, like, what is the basic story that this world is trying to tell, right? What kind of story does this world support? This is a world that's tragic. This is a world that is, you know, hopeful. This is a crazy, like, to Tony's point, this is a world of ridiculous magic and stuff like that with magical air conditioners like that, you know?
Excellent, Chris, because that's kind of the point, right? Like, so if I want really heroic, epic fantasy, then I can easily look and say, okay, well, what would I build? Well, I might build something that looks like Middle Earth, or I might build something that looks like Kryn, right? But if I want dark and gritty and barbaric, well, I might build something that looks a little more like Eberron, let's say, right? But I'm not going to, like, if I build Eberron, I'm not going to be like, okay, let's build this team of heroic adventurers that are going to, no, obviously, right? So that is a good point. When you're building this world, I got to say, even going further back, when we say we're building the world, like, there's so many aspects, like, it's not like a George Lucas world, right? Like, where literally it was like, well, this world is all forests. and this world is all water. Yeah. And this one is all desert, right?
But you still keep it small. I think we need to think about it from a overall perspective, not the topography, the geography. We can get to that. But just the general idea. What is the barest ideas that we want this world to encompass?
But that's kind of that's what I'm kind of getting at with that, is that like even with the globe that we're putting this on, the adventure matters, but it also doesn't, depending, because different areas of the world can play out completely differently, right?
Yeah, people could take them wherever they wanted to. There's areas on the map that aren't discovered. We're just creating the general flavor for this area that we're starting. But so I think we're getting to a good point here. What do we think about for it? Like, at least that, like, do we have an idea between the three of us that what do we think we'd want our world to, with what we've kind of discussed so far? What do we think? I like the future world idea, right? Like it's a world so far in the future that it's gone back to being somewhat primitive now with magic, and
it's not even recognizable as Earth.
And elves and dragons and stuff like that. It's a new, it's Ooerth or whatever it was, the thing.
We'll just rebuild my original campaign world. This will be helpful because I never built out the whole thing. Or is it, or a completely different world that, that doesn't have to play by any rules?
Does the background of the world matter that much in the thing, or is it something we could always add in later?
So if you're going to say this was Earth, of course, now you're drawing on the familiarity of certain elements and saying, okay, this is really wild, and you can expect
the Statue of Liberty in a desert.
Right, but you're going to find there are certain things that you can come to expect. Like maybe you're going through the ruins of New York now, and perhaps other cities are much more prevalent that exist, and they're safe places from whatever alien bugs or whatever we have going on in this world.
It's literally like that's the thing, and that's what we start to see when we do these types of things with D&D and other role-playing games, is our best ideas are refits of previous ideas. Because like the Shannara stones, that's literally it. Like they come across signs that like kind of point towards like that might have said San Francisco or something at some point. They don't know what that is, but like the audience does, or the readers do too. But Tony, the familiarity, when I was building out Slaver's Bay, right, because my original idea was I was playing with this idea of an Earth that is so far in the future that it's not recognizable, but like a lot of the topography is. So like Zaprora and the Slaver's Bay, I literally printed out a map of like Italy and the Mediterranean. So I already had a sense of how things fit together and where things might be in that world, because I literally had maps already. It helped with like the rivers don't flow that way in a world, right? Like Tolkien's mountain ranges that don't make any sense,
But so like it's a future world, it's magic is somewhat prevalent, but it's probably technologically based. But what's the story that this world is about? Like what do things in this world, how do things in this world go?
Well, I mean, my first question is going to be something to the effect of, is this coming out starting in a town, a city, a state? Is it surrounded by a kingdom? Just general, because you don't be flat-footed with those questions in game one when your players ask.
That is a good point, Tony, because those types of things definitely do affect what type of adventure you're going to play in it, right? So, yes, is it villages? Is it tribal villages? Is it cities? Is it civilization? Is it kingdoms? Is it fiefdoms? Is it... Right. Like that definitely plays into what type of soil can you plant your adventure in with this? So, is it much more like a classic medieval knights and sorcery type of world, generally speaking, right, in terms of where people are? Or is it something else entirely? Is it more like Mad Max style, where it's just like Dark Sun, type of thing, very civilized or completely uncivilized.
You can do it.
Oh.
Dark Sun's very focused and structured with the Sorcerer Kings, but I mean, I think what we're talking about is maybe some frontier towns.
Is it very loose, or is it much more structured type of civilizations you might find in this world that we will name at some point as well? So I will say real quick, guys, first question we're probably going to throw out there. Do you guys out there really love the idea of a completely brand new fantastical world that is all your own? Or kind of where we're leaning a little with this like dying earth kind of idea, where it's so far in the future that anything could actually be possible at this point, but it's not recognizable as Earth, but allows you to play with a certain level of familiarity as you build out the adventures. So that'll be our first probably question out there to you guys.
No, and I think some of the, if we're going to play into the idea that there's remnants of Earth there, that we should play, that should figure into it. Maybe it does end up being just Shannara, now I'm having trouble pronouncing words, Shannara style, right? Where it's just bits of branding and logos or buildings or structures that have been left there that they're using now for something else that has it. But I think that ties something into the world that makes it very cool.
I mean, we're going to say, figure some things out, like perhaps we operate on credits. That's a nice generic sci-fi concept, or gold. I mean, gold's more fantastic. But you got to nail these things down. So I'm going to go meet with some traders in the desert. How am I fencing my goods?
I mean, it's, but getting, taking it back a little bit further, like instead of being very specific, like what is the, what's the general feel of the world? And from that, we can start to get, we can start to dive in like deeper and deeper into it. But what's the general story that we want to tell here? Like we're building a world that eventually will house an adventure that we'll create in it, right? Theoretically. So what's the kind of adventure that we would like to tell?
Yeah, sounds, I mean, for me, I'm just going to go right off the bat and say, like, I always love like heroic fantasy. I mean, that's like struggling against evil, struggling against the odds, people rising up against it. Like, I mean, like, that's where I go first and foremost before I start thinking about any kind of like The Boys subversions or something, you know. But Tony,
I mean, I'm from the angle I'm looking at, this is obviously some feel something, it's to a degree post-apocalyptic, where the story is there was a very mighty civilization, knowledge has been lost, and there's people who are scrambling trying to survive in all the hazards of this world and the new things that we're going to introduce.
And Tone, that's a perfect point, because it goes back to these archetypes that we constantly play with, because literally every grand adventure has that, right? Where Game of Thrones, the Doom, right? The Doom of Valyria. Nobody knows what the hell it actually was, but it was some kind of event, right? Kryn in Dragonlance, the Cataclysm, right? This, I don't know, this giant event, right? They had a similar thing in Critical Role. They used a similar thing. It literally, to tell you the truth, a lot of it sounded like he just loved Dragonlance as a kid, right? But I mean, even like Middle Earth, right? Like it just kind of like something happened in the past and now we have this other stuff happening, right? So that's kind of an open thing, where the apocalypse of whatever that was kind of the demarcation point from before and now when you're in it, right? So that is a good trope to use, I think, to lean into, because it leaves so much mystery to it.
Like a tragic heroic fantasy where the world itself, like the adventure itself eventually, but the knowledge that you find would only serve to tell you that this world was destroyed previously by the things, whether it was aliens or nuclear bombs in like Planet of the Apes or something like that. But that kind of a story where it's a heroic fantasy that has somewhat of a tragic feel to it because of the nature of the circumstances.
There's so many ways you could go with it, where you could literally like, so you have obviously just the fighting against the tide of evil magic and armies stuff, right? So you could have that against like the monsters and the creatures of this world that we're in, right? Now, let's say, like, they were, let's say we go with the idea that I had originally played with, and we were saying it was like a colony ship that came, that had all, it was like a Noah's Ark of a lot of, like, the galaxy and the universe, right? And it, for whatever reason, crashed into Earth. And then this, these things are let loose. That also plays into not, do you not only realize that everything was destroyed and very well might be destroyed again, right? Like Wheel of Time, let's say, right? But then also, like, that the monsters and the creatures, you could play into some even deeper stuff. The monsters and the creatures, well, they're not necessarily evil or the enemy. They're refugees, right? And, like, you could play into those machinations as well. Like, there's so much that you could play into with that.
I don't know. I've been looking to do a slow reveal over time. I mean, I always hang on my hat on the lore tolerance. I mean, my God, certain players can hold, like, maybe one or two plots at a time, and then we're throwing out this explosion of Bob Ross color of all the things that happened in the first, second, and third age. And
I think it would be a high overview. Yeah. Like, we're talking, we're kind of thinking, like, so I think the way we're kind of looking at this is when we're saying, quote unquote, the world building, we're looking at the general theme, the general history, right? Kind of like the in the third age kind of feel, because it fills in some of the gaps, I think, for you to start then actually populating this canvas. Yes?
Well, I mean, how much do we really need that to launch? I mean, really, I could say there's a town, it's on the border, you're salvagers, and this is your environment, and knock yourself out.
Yeah, but no, I think it's just more the overall tone of that. I think as we go through it, we can start to develop the actual circumstances in there. But I think a good question for this is that if we go with that general idea, so that you've had a, you know, the colony ship had crashed at some point in the past, all of these different races and different alien races populated the planet, and now you encounter them, right? And as they live in the world, they start to, you know, occupy certain places, and there's conflict back and forth. But how deadly is the world? It sounds like it's a fairly deadly world, right? Or is it like post-apocalyptic in that it's still all a bunch of raised ruins, or is it populated now? Is it civilized now? Despite all of this, now there's all these different races around, but are there places there that are, right? Or is it just completely a post-apocalyptic with, you know, tiny villages and scared people? Or is there civilization?
I mean, that really depends. I mean, I would start, like, create a area which has got, like, the opening level threats, but you can make it very clear that there is severe danger depending upon where you go in a kind of the sandbox you're creating. And then, you know, hey, if you go there, they can get a really hard encounter, and maybe that goes south, and they flee, and perhaps come back at a later time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the actual actionable when, okay, we're building something, we're building an actual, like, adventure or encounter in this world. But, I mean, I think still what we're kind of getting at is some of this high overview stuff where, I mean, for me, I don't really... Like, I get post-apocalyptic storylines, right? Like Mad Max and that kind of stuff. Like, I get that. But, like, that's only so – that stuff can only last so long unless the entire, like, all the species die off, right? Like, the nature of people is that they are going to congregate. They will begin to build towns, villages, outposts, all the way up to cities, nations, kingdoms, whatever type of, like, the nature of it is it, I think it would have to have some level of, unless it's, you know, and again, the timeline of where you place your adventure can change that, but over time, people are going to congregate and create some sort of civilization. So what is that civilization? Kind of the general idea of that your characters might occupy, yeah?
That there would be less unruly activity, like perhaps in between, but there's areas of safe havens, there's stuff like that. The world may be dangerous, but there is built up cities and stuff. It's not just small congregations of people acting thing. I like that idea that there's still the post-apocalyptic feel. You can still see the ruins, but maybe it's more like Kryn, where they're ancient history and there's grass around them, or those kind of things where it still is part, it still reflects that history, but it's part of the environment. It doesn't color that. There's still that civilization there. That's very cool.
I mean, I'd like to see something that would be pretty interesting if civilization in general had, like the large ones in the history, if we're doing high overview, have collapsed, and this is everybody scrambling. So before everything turns back into great cities, like again, border towns, and perhaps there is a unified civilization, but it's not benevolent. So that you have this other foe, this perhaps city-state, nation. Absolutely. That's threatening.
It's benevolent unto itself. I mean, just like most things would be, especially if they came following a giant cataclysm, right?
Well, I think resistance versus the empire, right? It's very much that sort of feel where there's a large group that has civilized and gathered and gotten quite large and powerful that is not benevolent, to Tony's point. And then there are other smaller towns around there that feel the, you know, the grip of this evil thing and are trying to rebel and, like, you know, break the chains of it. I think that creates a very interesting world dynamic there. Because a lot of the times when you're going to create an adventure, you're going to create something in those border towns. That's where your characters are very often going to come from, because that's going to be the driving force in the world, is trying to free yourself from this unbenevolent... that's a word, but
malevolent.
Malevolent. Yeah.
Benevolent unto itself, right? Ex-benevolent. But no, like that, there's a reason that plays so well. There's a reason that the spaghetti westerns play so well. There's a reason that Star Wars plays so well in that way, and the Outer Rim and that kind of stuff, is that it literally follows history, right? Which is the Civil War. There's this huge destruction, right? Everyone is thrown asunder, especially in the South. That sets the stage for all of the Josie Wales and Fistful of Diamonds time. Is all of those guys were, like, in essence, Confederate soldiers that were now just out trying to find a new way in the outskirts of this civilization. The actual civilization still existed, though, right? Like, in terms of, like, the federal government and blah, blah, blah. Same idea after the Clone Wars, obviously, right, is the rise of the empire. But you have this, like, this kind of ragtag people out there on the outskirts of it, right? But, yeah, but there is a level of that people will congregate into social constructs in order, because it's protection, right? I mean, it's in its most basic form.
Something I like to fall back into when you're doing these border towns is that, or what I really like about them is that they're not super high security. And I'm not saying this is an excuse for everybody to go off there and pilfer. No, I'm talking about, like, there's threats. There's a sheriff, maybe some deputies. In a matter of speaking, we could change the wording around. But, like, there's not a huge, just, you know, in a British garrison where there's, like, 40 English knights there just all standing around. Because if they have that, then they probably may not need heroes as greatly. And then there's these undiscovered wastelands, which they can explore and take risks, find all manner of things, old technology, magic, unhappy monsters, whatever you're feeling.
All right. So, I mean, I think we're getting a pretty good feel for the general idea, right? It's in the future. It's the colony ship has crashed here. It's, you know, there's a large society that has arisen, that has gained a lot of power, right? And malevolent. Thank you,
Dave. Malevolent power.
Yeah, malevolent power.
It's benevolent unto themselves.
Yes. Non-malevolent. Benevolent.
He's made it work.
Oh, boy. It's one of those nights.
Ill-benevolent.
Yeah, ill-benevolent. Has risen, and now there are these, you know, border towns, satellite villages that are trying to free themselves. They may be, perhaps to your point, from like Josie Wales, related somehow to that. Maybe, or maybe they're recruited into an army inside of the thing there, and they have some kind of negative feelings about this. But these border towns are trying to free themselves. They're low, right? Like to Tony's point, they're low security. They're things out there. So out there, it's dangerous, right? It's not as thinking of that. But I think many of the things you get the idea for the general story arc is that your general idea is your characters are coming from somewhere into these border towns, and their idea is eventually, I guess, they go to the big city, or there's something about it. But that was one part too, is that, so if we take the idea that it's old thing, is the city in that, or is there another area? Like, what was that Tom Cruise movie where they go and there's the other area, and that's
where,
like,
is it bartender? Piece,
there's
Cocktail?
Yeah, I think it was possibly Cocktail, where he was going, it was on
all
the world,
right,
and they
moves.
Went to the different area that they couldn't go to, right? That there's this area that you're not allowed to go to. That has additional stuff there. That might be a little bit too on the nose for the thing, but when we started talking about it, then I started to think, if there's border towns and there's a large central city or a centralized society, they probably wouldn't all be one city, but a large collection of city-states that are aligned with this malevolent power, if there would be like this, they would want to keep people away. Maybe they know more than the people in the border towns do about the true origins of this world.
This is interesting. So we're going to try to do some final thoughts here. It's going to be different for our final thoughts. So I'm just going to throw it out there, and then I'll come back and I'll toss out a couple thoughts for everybody listening out there.
So while you're considering doing something like this on your own, I would just take it, you know, be sensitive to really how much you really need to produce for the first couple of adventures. I have really gone absolutely nuts and designed all this crazy stuff, like in, dare I say, that infamous first town, which is so developed and so deep, and then everyone's there for 1.5 adventures, and they're like, we're out. And I'm like, crap. You could make this, that same kind of situation could happen here. So stick to the basics of what you're looking to do in terms of the area, the monsters, the encounters, some lore, and then let the lore kind of unfold so that doesn't get all lost and muddled with your plot points that you're trying to put out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a lot of what we've been talking about. It's like a start from a seed. If you want to build a world, it doesn't have to, you don't have to think about the individual details and the circumstances. Think about the story that you want to tell, like what books and movies that you like, right? Things that you've seen, things that you want to, perhaps old ideas, right? Things that you could start to put together, like kind of the ideas about, like, I mean, you can always talk about magic. We spent some time talking about magic, but that, to a lot of our point there, that's not important. It's like, think about the general idea. What is this that I'm creating this world for a reason, that I'm going to run adventures in it, right? You know, or I'm going to write stories in it, or whatever it is. What are the stories that I'm going to write? What are the adventures that I'm going to write? Am I creating a world where it's heroic fantasy, or am I creating a world where it's this dark cyberpunk, grimdark world that has a different kind of feel to it? And I think you take that, and then those large ideas that you get there help to define all the other things, because it makes everything else easier, because they all start to spider off of themselves as we've kind of started talking about the future world. And then you say, okay, well, you're a future world. Well, there's obviously a past to that world, right? And then it started to grow and to spider out. So I think starting with a good central idea about the general story that you're wanting to tell really helps to start getting the idea for an overall world that will grow over time. Like, you can't design it in one session here, like, as we can, you know, we can show you here. But I think what we did design is a good idea for, this is the one sentence that, you know, this is the elevator pitch for our world. And from that, we can now build out all the ideas for what a city might be named, if there's religions there or all that. But now you have a good idea what their place in it might be because of that initial seed that we planted.
So I think that this is a good time, because what we're, like we said, this is a bit of an experiment. We have never done anything like this, not to any real extent on 3WD before. So we are kind of brainstorming here. We are taking all the games we've run and all the campaigns and all the worlds, ones we've run through, ones we've built ourselves, and we're starting to pull back and say, okay, what would we say when we're building this world? So what we kind of want to add to this, as we said in the top, is your thoughts out there. And your thoughts will let us know how far and how deep we go into this, or if we just work on it ourselves and then tell you about it one episode. But the first thing, do you guys out there, do you like the idea more about a completely brand new fantastical world that is just whatever you want it to be, or kind of where I shoehorned in this idea of the dying earth thing, the post-apocalyptic, something has happened, and now it's so far in the future that you don't recognize Earth, but it has all of the possible creatures and tech and science and magic that D&D can bring for you. So that's the first thing. Which one do you guys like? And I'll throw out some polls for this too. Also, I would love to know, just from what we've talked about here, what your guys' thoughts are out there about a name for this world. Does it have a name?
That's what I was going to say.
Have a name? But anyway,
can do a lot.
So, you know, like I said, get back to us with your thoughts on this, because we really do want to kind of play with a little bit of kind of crowdsourcing a world building thing and start to have this bigger conversation. Because what I've noticed as we've talked here, and my kind of final thoughts are, the questions that we ask ourselves and where that brings us when we're thinking about adventures and building these things. And then, like, where does that – well, let's pull that back a little bit more. Why do we think that? Well, does that really – why do I have a city there? Like, some of these basic things, it makes you start to think in a new way, and maybe it'll help us approach as we build this world out in new ways as well. So anyway, like I said – reach out to us with your thoughts on what we have done so far as we kind of brainstorm here behind the screen. So you can reach us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can reach out to us at 3wisedms.com, put it in the What's Your Problem field. And then obviously Facebook and Instagram. That's where a lot of this conversation is probably going to be taking place with some of our posts. So keep active with those. And share them with your DM friends and get them involved, see what their thoughts are. And let's see if we get some level of a consensus out there, or if you guys come up with something completely different that we didn't think of. Anyway, and as always, you know, you don't need to do it while you're world building, but you always need dice. So don't go anywhere else but our affiliate link specifically at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. You put in the code 3WiseDMs. 10, that's the number 3, Wise DMs, the number 10, you get 10% off your whole order. Pretty sweet. So that's going to be it for this week. And we will see when we return to the sequel to our world building experiment here on 3 Wise DMs. But as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com, or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise DMs.